Black people. Poor people. Black people. Black people. This is James Brown, Soul Brother number one. I want to say, what is going down?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Shut the beer mug.
I think Batman and Robin are
queer.
A bat signal for listeners who might not know refers to the children's character, the Batman, a strong gentleman who fights crime nocturnally.
And now, for those of you just joining us, we are all going to die.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is a Tuesday morning. It's 5:33.
What the heck is going on, Kevin and Bean?
I don't know, Doto. What's happening with you?
I don't know. I was just thinking about the dough. I miss him so much. Why can't we get him on the show?
He wants to be on the show so bad. He wants to be in show business so bad. But Dave, the King of Mexico, and Omar and everybody have been in the other room. They've been trying to nail him down, go out and do some interviews on the street or something. They'll say, how about Thursday? And he'll say, I'm China, Kevin and Bean, on Thursday. And we don't know what that means.
It's like trying to coax a cat out of a crawl space or something like that. We're just – like everybody on the staff is putting out milk and treats and we're clapping our hands.
Right.
And we're just we're laying the bait down, trying to get him to come out. We just can't get him out of the tunnel.
But in our case with Doto, the cat is saying, hey, I want to come out.
Right. Right. Exactly.
And won't. I don't know.
He wants to make it in show business,
Kevin
and
Bean. I want him to make it in show business, Kevin and Bean.
I do, too. Anyway, I love him so much. And it is Tuesday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Here's a here's an interesting story, Kevin. This is a You Be the Judge.
Right.
I'm interested in your take on this because you're a dad. There's a 9-year-old in the news. Massachusetts Child Welfare Authorities are investigating because he is a rapper. He's a 9-year-old rapper,
right.
And he makes videos. And they're very popular on YouTube. Apparently has quite a following. He's been around for a couple of years, believe it or not. He's appeared in, I think he's performed with P. Diddy. And
what?
He's one of these, like Little Bow Wow was back in the day, who's just, you know, super talented. His real name is Louis Riviera, and you'll love him so much when I tell you that his stage name is Little Poopy.
Oh.
So Little Poopy, is it all these videos smacking women's backsides and flashing wads of cash and riding around in a Ferrari? And, you know, some of the lyrics are, you know, he's rapping about how coke is not a bad word and stuff like that. He's in a nightclub and he's dancing sexually all suggestive with people throwing cash at him and stuff like that.
Wait, and he's 9?
He's 9, yes. So Child Services steps in from Brockton, Massachusetts. The police department there contacted the Department of Children and Families after they got a call from a concerned citizen who saw some of these videos. And the state agency is brought in, and now they're investigating whether this kid is, you know, is in some sort of dangerous situation, or there's, you know, emotional abuse or something like that. The investigation is open. They're not saying much because the kid is involved. But all Little Poopy's fans and friends are – you know, they're standing up for him, going, look, he's a great kid. He goes to school. He's got a stable family. He's just acting. It's no different than if you were in a movie. You know, the stuff that he's doing in these videos is what an actor would be doing if he's in movies, is what they say. And he's a bright kid. He's got a lot of fans. And I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, there's certainly nothing I've seen in the 3 different articles that I read on this story that suggests that, you know, he's being forced into something against his will. I'm sure he's having the time of his life.
Of course. Little Poopy. Of course.
Wouldn't you want to be Little Poopy?
I want to now. I would like you to start calling me that, if that's all right.
I love some of the people that were interviewed by Channel 7 News in Boston, though. I'm kind of horrified. I have a 12-year-old grandson, and I would just never, said Mildred Walker. Well,
yeah, but
no one named Mildred is ever going to get, never going to understand Little Poopy, right?
Little Poopy could be 24, and Grandma wouldn't like it.
That's insane. He's 9 years old, and his parents allow him to do that. Said another woman. Anyway, I dug around on YouTube. This is not one of his...
Yes, you have some Little Poopy?
I got some Little Poopy for you. This is not one of his finished songs, but this is him freestyle rapping in a YouTube video back when he was 8. And here's a little bit of what the Poopster sounds like.
What are you talking about? I'm talking about Big Dang.
big wheels, big cars, and a big chain. I'm only 8 years old. I'm doing big things. French Montana on my track. I'm it, mate.
What do you think of Little Poopy so far?
Little Poopy's pretty good.
For 8 years old, he's not too bad, right?
I am guessing he didn't write it, though. So that's maybe where the child services comes in, if the parent's writing it.
The video says this is freestyle, so I don't know.
Hey, that's what they screaming now. Every time they see me, they like, Poopy, what you putting now? Talk about my track, I'm on Tennessee, it's too far. I tell them I'm a Kimu, and I will never stop. My flow without this world, I don't mean I'm super. Do what you say you can never do, or only watch.
There's some Little Poopy for you to get your day started.
So. I love Poopy.
I am sure that this is all going to work out to be fine, but it is hilarious to see him just, you know, being a rapper with the gold chains and the Ferraris and the slapping the women's asses and the whole deal. So we all have a new favorite musical artist this morning.
That made my day. Little Poopy. Love it. Free Little Poopy. That's the slogan.
Sure.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Well, I'm here to stop you from doing what you're about to do. Yep. The show's a disaster.
Can't stop it. Sorry, William. Kevin Michael Connolly is the guy's name. He was born without legs.
Ooh, I don't care for this guy.
He is without legs and has a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and we've seen this before, Bean, he's a daredevil.
Of course he is. Of course, and let me guess, there's an inspirational lesson to be learned because there's nothing he can't do.
Correct.
And we able-bodied people are sitting on our fat asses watching him surf and climb mountains and skydive.
He does all of the above, yeah.
With no legs.
Yep. And when he says no legs, I mean, you're talking hips. That's about as low as he goes.
Yeah. This isn't a guy who lost it below the knee or something. No. This is a guy who has no legs.
And without prosthetics either, because I guess there's nothing to put him on to.
Wow.
But he's more active than both of us put together in our entire lives.
Wow.
And, you know, he's cliff diving and he's skydiving and he's riding a motorcycle. I don't know what the hell.
But he needs to stop it
because he's making us all look bad. He's ruining the curve.
Absolutely.
It's one of those guys where now everybody looks at us and goes, what are you doing? I go, I don't know, watching TV. That's what I do. brand new edition of 911 is a joke, which we haven't done in a while, and I love so much. People call 911 for anything.
Sure.
And they're not always smart, and it's certainly not always an emergency.
There is a point in most adults' life where they learn the difference between a call that is an emergency and a non-emergency phone call to the police.
Right.
Because they do have that alternate phone number you could use if it's not really an emergency.
Right. Most people find that out. But some people, when they get drunk and they're in a drive-thru and they don't get their burger, then they call 911, and that's what we like to highlight because they're funny. Brand new show called Stranded on Sci-Fi. We're going to have Jason Blum talking about that. And that looks fantastic. They move three people into a haunted house. And then just say, see ya, peace out. And it looks awesome.
Why don't they just turn the lights on in that house? That's my concern about that video.
It's very dark.
You just stick people in an unfamiliar place in the dark, they're going to hear and see a lot of things.
That's correct, yeah. Yeah. Joe Levy from Billboard, we're going to talk to him. He's the editor of Billboard Magazine. They've changed the way that they have done the rankings for music for the first time in, I don't know, how long, Bean? You're a fan of that list.
I mean, this is the first time in history they've ever done this. I mean, we'll talk about it with Joe, but basically as technology changes, they change what goes into making up the Hot 100. You know, now they count streaming, for instance. You know, it used to just be radio airplay. Now it's people who stream online and services like Spotify and stuff like that. Well, now they've added YouTube views, which in many cases are – this is what's going to be weird is there are a lot of things on YouTube that aren't even a quote-unquote song that people can buy. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just a video that somebody made. I mean, literally, Little Poopy could have the number one song in America
if enough people
went to YouTube and watched his video. It's kind of weird how they've changed it.
When
like
he grows
that.
Up, is he just going to be Poopy?
I don't know. Little Bow Wow is just Bow Wow.
That's what I'm saying.
Probably so, yeah.
Plus, what was the best destruction you had you did with your ass based on the Academy Awards?
Excuse me?
Based on the Academy Awards, somebody, and it looked like it was a grandmother of somebody, dropped a deuce and flooded the lobby of the Academy Awards during the Academy Awards. How awesome is that?
That's impressive if you're Omar.
So
Omar's going to love Little Poopy.
I know he is. He is. He's going to be obsessed with him. And we brought up that topic. Dave, the King of Mexico, has told us 3, 4, 5 stories. He wouldn't stop. Oh, yeah. And then there was this one time where he just destroyed places. just destroyed them. So we're going to take some calls on that as well. We will take a break, and we will come back with Brad Williams. What did you call him yesterday, the funniest guy under 4'4"?
I think so.
I think so. He's doing the showbiz beat for Ralph today, and we'll come right back.
We struggle, by the way. Kevin Bean listener Mike writes in and goes, no, you guys, when Little Poopy grows up, he's going to love it when they call him Big Poopy. Come on.
Big Poopy.
Touche.
See, because of the notorious.
When you call me Big
Pop. Hey, Brad Williams, what's going on, buddy?
I was so sorry to hear Ralph Garman died, but you know, I'm here.
No, he's fine. I heard he died. TV show. I think he's just filming a Western or something.
No, he's out.
Unless that's a euphemism, filming a Western means he died.
We didn't realize that, but maybe that's the case.
Yeah, I'm so glad. I've canceled all my shows. I'm now here from now on.
I didn't realize that. I'm
going to be here every morning.
We'll have a meeting about that later.
Okay, sounds good.
Brad, I follow you on Twitter, as all good Americans should, at FunnyBrad. And I know that you're a stand-up comedian, and that's your job, and you go all over this great land of ours to entertain. But Wow, every weekend I see you tweeting, well, off to Columbus, Ohio, off to Wichita, Kansas. I mean, what a crazy life you lead.
I've been home a grand total of 3 days this month.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's...
Wow.
I don't know where I am right now. It's insane.
I'll bet. Well, I'm glad it worked out. We're so grateful for you, of course, to be able to stop in and do some showbiz for us today. What's going on? What's everybody talking about?
Well, here's the thing. I would never cancel on you guys, because I like you guys.
Right.
I like coming here.
Right.
I'm not Morrissey.
Uh-oh. He's kind of flaky, isn't he?
Kind of. Yeah. Morrissey canceled on your boy Jimmy Kimmel. He said he did not want to go on the show because he had a problem with another guest on the show.
Really? Now, Kevin, have you heard this story yet?
I have not.
Wait until you hear who he had a problem with.
He had a problem with the cast of the show Duck Dynasty.
What?
Yes.
Oh, because he's such a vegan?
He's such a vegan. Yeah. He's such a vegetarian. And Duck Dynasty, the guys from that show, in addition to having really offensive beards, just they make hunting products. And right. He's against that. So he said, nope, I will not perform on your show. I will not go on there. I don't want to be next to the... I don't want to soil my reputation by being seen with the guys from Duck Dynasty.
Hmm.
Do you get the idea he just doesn't want to do that? Press or... I mean, I know that he is very hardcore vegan. I get that.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah. But, like, I'm hardcore a lot of things, but doesn't mean I can't be associated with other people. It's got to be a lot of work to be that much of a dick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you really have to commit to it. Like,
he committed a long time ago. No question.
Like, how can I be more of an a-hole today? I think certain celebrities just wake up and go, how can I be an a-hole today?
But I will say this.
He's definitely one of them.
I will say this. He has made it known that that's what he's about.
It's not shocking anymore.
Right. He has stated that that is very, very important to him.
Right.
So he's being consistent. I mean, it's not...
At least
this is. This is on the heels of him asking, and I guess they accepted, the Staples Center to withdraw all meat products from the concession stand.
Right. Hot dogs
there this weekend.
Right.
All that's gone. So that's part of his rules. But it's just, it's weird. I mean, no one's asking him to hunt a duck. He just needs to be on a television show.
And he's not and it's Kimmel, and he's doing the music, so he's not even standing next to the guys of Duck Dynasty. He would be on the stage outside.
So he's not even going to get any duck on him.
No.
He's not getting his picture taken with Bin Laden or something here. Yeah. I mean, he's just singing a song, right?
All I'm saying is, when it comes to hanging out with those guys, who gives a duck? Really.
Wow. You're trying to get in the file. We do not honor attempts to get in the file.
Darn it.
Sorry.
Well, let's, you know what? There's still time. I'm here all day. They're going to keep coming. The new cast of Dancing with the Stars was announced.
All right. What stars are in it?
Stars with a question mark?
By the way, just before you get to Dancing with the Stars, please tell me that you were watching during the Academy Awards or at any other time they've shown a teaser for Splash.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is the diving show.
Yeah, the diving show. And they're like, we're diving with celebrities.
Yeah.
Louis Anderson.
Louis Anderson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Yeah. And, oh, my God.
And Dominic Sue.
Why aren't you on that show?
Why aren't I on that show?
It seems like that would be a great platform. No pun intended. A great platform for you is to get your word out.
I mean, that, and I could, like, high dive off of 3 feet. And everyone right. would, and it would just be like this daredevil stunt. Like, holy crap.
You could go off of that thing and do 75 flips before you hit the water.
By the way, let's not forget that Miss Alabama, Catherine Webb, is also on that show.
All right.
So let's not be so quick to poo-poo the splash.
Hey, I'm excited about the splash. It looks bad enough.
So bad it's good.
It looks like that to me. All right. Dancing with the Stars. Who do we have? Who are the stars?
Who are the stars? The Hollywood's elite.
Yes.
I'm sure many of these stars were at all the Oscar after parties. Like Lisa Vanderpump.
Oh, I love Lisa Vanderpump.
Is
a reality star, right, Brad? Of some sort?
Yeah, Vanderpump sounds like a porn star name, doesn't it?
Does,
it?
Yeah. It does. It does. But I think
I gave her the Vanderpump.
I don't know if she's a housewife or one
yeah,
of those.
Yeah, she's a real housewife Beverly Hills. She's got a show called Vanderpump Rules, which sounds like a German workout video.
Yeah,
it does. And now it's time to Vanderpump. Oh, yeah. We Vanderpump you up. Other stars on the show, Winona Judd, Kelly Pickler from American Idol.
Wow.
Allie Reisman, she's a U.S. Olympic gymnast.
Oh, I don't know.
Well,
she would have a huge advantage.
You would think.
A gymnast.
Well, I know, I think, was it Sean Johnson who did well on that show?
What, am I upset about the competition of Diving with the Stars?
Yeah, Dorothy Hamill.
Okay, another.
Figure skater from 1979, way to stay current.
Sure.
Ingo Radmaker.
Oh, she's the best.
Who's Ingo?
Who's Ingo?
Ingo is a soap opera star, I think, from General Hospital.
All right.
Okay.
Mr. Protect Yourself at All Times, Victor Ortiz, boxer.
Okay, UFC, yeah.
No, not fighter, the one that got knocked out by Mayweather.
Okay, all right. So not even the one we know.
Not even the one we know. Zendaya Coleman from the Disney Channel.
But seriously.
They do always have somebody on there from the Disney Channel. We've never heard of them.
D.L. Hughley?
Really?
Yeah. Comedian D.L. Hughley.
We love him.
Buddy of mine.
Yeah,
fantastic,
he's a good dude.
Fantastic dresser. He'll look the best.
Yeah.
So, wide receiver from the Baltimore Ravens, Jacoby Jones.
Wow, that's a big name.
And,
he just won the Super Bowl. Yeah. What is he doing on Dancing with the Stars? This isn't a guy who's retired and looking for something to do.
I don't know.
He just freaking won the Super Bowl last month. What's he doing on Dancing with the Stars?
And probably the only reason to tune in, Andy Dick, ladies and gentlemen.
He's not on Dancing with the
Stars.
Andy
Dick is on Dancing with the Stars.
He's going to get kicked off before the first show.
Wow.
Side note. I enjoy Andy Dick. Because of him, I've gotten many comedy shows, many comedy gigs.
Is that right?
Yeah, because he shows up to do his weekend of shows on Thursday. He's fired by Thursday night.
Right.
And they fly me in.
So you just follow him around.
Yeah.
Wherever he gets fired from, you step in.
Multiple times, nice. I've been called hilarious. Him to substitute.
But he's sober now, by the way. Right now, he seems to be doing really, really
right
well.
Right now, as in 5 minutes ago, yes, he is sober.
I know.
He is sober.
I put all my money on him being knocked out first. No
absolutely. He's like Corolla, like Catherwood.
Yeah.
Hey, Brad, do you have a TV agent? Do you have somebody who's out there beating the bushes for you to get on some of these shows?
Oh, I mean, I don't...
Big a star as half the people on Dancing with the Stars, and I would love to see you on that show.
I'm going more for the celebrity diving. Just because of my head, I would sink like a stone.
But you're supposed to not make a splash, too, so that would not work in your favor.
No, it wouldn't go. Yeah, between my huge head and my huge butt, there would be... It's like me and Indomitian Sue would be going head to head for the biggest splash. No way.
Oh my god.
Not really doing reality, but I am going to be on an upcoming episode of Jim Jefferies' show Legit.
Oh, that's such a good show.
I'm so happy about that.
I love that show.
It's a great show.
It's my favorite new show.
I'll be on, I think, episode in like 3 weeks I'll be on.
Okay.
So,
awesome.
Yeah, I'm doing something, Bean.
All right.
Okay.
Something.
I love you, Brad, and I think they're missing an opportunity to have you on these shows because you would make them funny.
Darn
right. And I think it would be, you know, great for you. I think people would really enjoy watching it.
If for no other reason to see you in a swimsuit next to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in a swimsuit.
Right.
Just the visual.
The visual alone would be spectacular.
Done. I look like a growth from Louis Anderson. Let's get to celebrity birthdays. Singer Michael Bolton is 60 today. Yeah, 60. Michael Bolton.
You guys aren't going to believe this, but he still has a huge following.
Nope.
And has a new album out today.
What? Nope.
Michael Bolton. Still recording, yeah.
Wow.
Has he gone into the Rod Stewart version of Let's Just Record Standards?
Yeah. And by that, do you mean is the album an entire album of Motown songs? Yes. Yes, it is.
I knew it.
Yes, it is.
This is what they do when they run out of steam.
Yeah. Well, he is 60 years old today. Singer Erykah Badu is 42. Singer Corinne Bailey Ray is 34. Lakers guard Steve Blake is 33, and actress Teresa Palmer is 27. I'm Brad Williams. Follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad, and I pitter-patter on the showbiz.
The Travel Channel is the place. Tonight, the program is called Armed and Ready, making its debut with two back-to-back episodes. The star of the show is Kevin Michael Connelly. He is a self-proclaimed thrill seeker, Kevin. Let's see what else we might like to know about this young man.
I'm Kevin Michael Connelly. I was born without legs.
No legs.
But I've found plenty of other ways to move. In my new series, Armed and Ready, I'm all about pushing my limits in search of big adventures.
All in one piece, or half piece, depending on how you work the fracturing.
Helmet deployed!
I'll mountain board down a Hawaiian volcano, face off against jousters in a knight's duel, and team up with NASA to see if I have what it takes to become the first legless man in space. My dad's always called me a test pilot because my life is like one giant experiment wrapped in a whole lot of straps and covered in duct tape. The way I see it, if you want to get the biggest thrills, you need to be willing to get your hands dirty.
Dude, I don't know if I can do this.
I'm Kevin Michael Connelly, and I am armed and ready.
Oh, boy. Hey, Kevin. Welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
Gentlemen, how's it going?
Here's what we want to say.
Stop it.
Stop it.
Stop it.
What are you doing, Kevin? What are you doing?
I don't know. I'm regularly asking myself the same question.
But don't you understand that you don't have any your legs, you were born that way, and you literally don't even have thighs, right?
Yeah, no. I mean, if you're looking, like, strictly from a medical perspective, like, basically, yeah, femurs didn't grow into the pelvic sockets.
Stop it.
Here's the thing. Those of us with legs don't do as much as you do, and then you're out there, and you ruin the curve for all of us. People are now looking at us going, you guys are nothing. Kevin is out there diving, high diving, and everything else that he could possibly do.
Look, I have legs. There's no way I could train with the Army Rangers or scale trees in Tennessee or do any of the stuff that you do. So you are making me look bad, and I don't care for that.
I'm glad to be greeted in such friendly terms.
Well, you're making us look bad.
Seriously, you know what you are, Kevin. You're that kid who graduates from high school like 3 years early, so that all the adults can look at us and go, "Why are you guys so slow? What's up with you?"
The one who, like, everyone secretly hated.
We used to have somebody in grade school where we would try to get the teacher sidetracked, and we would finally get the teacher sidetracked, and we could talk about something else all day, and then there was that one kid in class who had all the A's, and he would go, "Can we get back to the subject?" And we would all hate him for that. Because we finally got to.
Sorry, I was that guy.
Oh, Kevin. All right, tell us. So you have a show. It's on the Travel Channel. Tell us. There's two episodes tonight. What happens on tonight's episodes?
Okay, so the first episode's going to be in Tennessee. And, I mean, basically the idea of Armed and Ready is take a sport or activity you don't think a legless guy could do, and then make him do it.
Right. So you've got people, I assume, engineers and people like that who kind of help you reach the pedals if you want to ride a bike or whatever it is. They come up with some way to kind of add to what you've already got to make it possible for you to enjoy these sports.
To a degree, yeah. I mean, obviously, anywhere I land, I'm going to have to adapt to my surroundings.
Right.
I think saying that I have a team of engineers is giving me a little too much credit. In every episode, I'm meeting a local, wherever I'm landing, who helps me build what I need to build.
So that's way different.
Yeah. And it's definitely like a MacGyver aspect. Like, what do we have in our garage to make this work?
Now, in the first episode, you climb a 50-foot tree with lumberjacks, right?
Yes.
You roll down a hill in a giant inflatable hamster ball.
That's just somebody screwing with you, Kevin.
No, there's definitely, like, it's a good relationship I have with my producer, because I'm definitely a masochist and she's a little bit of a sadist.
All right, wow. So it works out perfectly. And then you're also going down Class 4 Rapids, which is class five is the limit. Class six you're not supposed to do. So that's not easy.
You'll see. I definitely pay for it.
I would imagine so.
Hey, this is the voice of Kevin Michael Connolly here on the phone. He is on a program called Armed and Ready tonight on the Travel Channel. That's what we're talking about. You have won X Games medals, correct? What is your sport?
So the sport that I was competing in the X Games was called the Mono X, which is take the skier cross, which is if you've ever watched the X Games, you'll see at some point an event of like a bunch of skiers going down the hill and they're going over jumps and around gates together.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so imagine that, only with monoskis. And monoskis are kind of like, imagine basically a cyborg. So, you know, upper body is all person, and then lower body could be, you know, components to a snowmobile, which is what my suspension system is. And
to
have these monoskiers going down the exact same course as the able-bodied guys at the same speeds, doing the same jumps, and, I mean, it's carnage. I mean, when you see someone wreck, it's like part human collision, part like NASCAR explosion.
You're not exactly sure where the person begins and the medal ends?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was pretty hardcore. I took a silver and a bronze and actually broke my back in the process of getting the bronze.
I'm good now,
you broke your back. Last thing you need.
Well, you know, you do what I do long enough and eventually you end up getting bit once in a while.
Oh my God.
Thankfully, Kevin, like that happened when we were filming.
What is your upper body strength like? I mean, can you do a million pull-ups?
I can do a couple.
He's got pirate arms. I've seen him. His arms are monstrous.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean, think about it. I mean, I walk on my arms every day and have done so since I was born. So, I mean, not only are my, you know, arms and upper body akin to kind of like your thighs, but, you know, all the ligaments in my fingers have stretched out. The rotator cuffs in my shoulders are super strong.
Wow.
You know, my entire body, really, since the day of inception, has kind of adapted to, you know, what I've had to do to get through life.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. Yeah. That is amazing. Listen, in our remaining moments, I have to ask you this. Speaking of adapting, your attitude, and I'm sure people bring this up to you all the time, because most of us feel like, wow, if I was born without legs, I would just spend my whole life in a corner crying and thinking about all the things I wish I could do that I can and being envious of other people. How have you managed to turn that frown upside down, as they say, and have such an incredible positive attitude about your circumstances?
Honestly, it's come from travel, dude. You know, I certainly deal with a lot of logistical challenges and obviously getting stared at and, you know, the occasional odd question or two. But the thing for me is that I get to discover new stuff. I mean, we're in the 21st century. Pretty much, you know, everything has been done before, whether it's street lugeing or traveling to Tennessee or Hawaii. But when you're doing it as a dude without legs, you're breaking new ground every time you get to do something like that.
So yeah, that's true.
I think the opportunity to be unique and, you know, have a unique point of view in the 21st century is a way more valuable commodity than being able to, like, reach stuff off tall shelves. Yeah. You guys to do that, right?
and I would imagine you must have come from a family environment that was not only nurturing, but that also pushed you. I suspect that you had parents who said, hey, you can do anything you put your mind to, right?
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't even go so far as saying it as plainly as that. It would be more like getting yelled at if you didn't do your chores along with your sisters. So, yeah, I mean, there wasn't even really a nod to the fact that, you know, living as I did was kind of, you know, a different thing until I really left Montana, where I grew up.
Right.
Just such a small community in such a rural environment, everyone treated me like normal pretty quickly.
And then when you go around the world, how do people treat you?
Very differently. So I did this project called the Rolling Exhibition, which is basically rolling around the world to, I guess, by now, just shy of 30 countries, by myself with a camera documenting people staring at me. And so regardless of your social, economic, or cultural background, everyone's going to stare and look the same if you can capture that moment.
Wow.
But where I went, like the different countries, definitely had their own unique stories. So, I mean, here I've been, you know, asked if I was in Iraq. I was shooting in Sarajevo and had people giving me money, assuming that I was either a beggar or, you know, a victim of the Balkan Wars in the early 90s.
Did you take it?
No. I mean, the tough thing would be I would be saying, like, no, American, and pulling out my camera trying to show that, you know, I wasn't in that position.
But right.
Who I looked like a lot of times was more important than what I was actually saying. And so, sometimes they would forcefully stuff money in my pockets, and the best I could do is just flip it and give it to the next person I saw.
Oh, you're
wow.
You're a better man than us. That's why we
better man than us by far. Yeah. What an unbelievable story. Inspirational. And the show looks great, too. It's called Armed and Ready, debuting with back-to-back episodes tonight on the Travel Channel at 10 and 10:30. It's a travelogue around the world with Kevin Michael Connelly, a man born with no legs. So great to have you on the program, man. Let's do it again. Thank you.
Sounds good. Thank you, Mr.
Tuesday morning. Hey, it's been a while since we've done this feature. 911 is a joke.
To get up, get down. 911 is joking, yo.
We love the 911 calls when they're funny. Not so much when they're bad and when they're serious and when it's people at the lowest moments in their whole lives. But people call 911 for all sorts of crazy reasons.
People are stupid, and that's funny.
And sometimes 911 calls you, as is the case of our first story. Dan Davis, 10 years old, wanted to stay up late during school vacation. He told his mom. She said, "You got to go to bed, son." He said, "I'm going to call the cops on you." So she said, "Go ahead." So he picked up the phone and called 911 and then hung up. Well, you know what happens, Kevin, when you call 911 and hang up. They call you back.
They have to, yeah.
Hello. Hi, this is 911. Somebody just called from there.
Yeah, it was my son, my 10-year-old son.
Okay.
No, everything is fine here. I told him to go to bed, and he doesn't want to go to bed. So he's like, "I'm going to call the cops on you." I said, "Go ahead." You know,
yeah.
I'm like, "Go ahead and call the cops on me then. I'm going to put him on the phone. Dan, would you like to talk to the police? Because you can't be calling 911 when there is no emergency. Because they need it for people who actually are in trouble."
By the way, how much time is she wasting for this poor 911 operator, by the way? She's scolding her child while this other woman's on the phone.
Not only that, but she also admitted that she said, "Go ahead and call him." And now she's yelling at him for calling him.
Exactly. Yes. The mom is to blame here, not the 10-year-old. Right.
He doesn't want to come to the phone. I'm sorry.
We have to send somebody out anyway.
Yep.
Okay, that's fine. All right. Thank you.
Terminal Place, apartment 2.
Apartment 2. Yep.
Okay, honey.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, sounds like the 911 operator at least bought her story, because I'm sure a lot of times somebody will say, no, everything's fine. Don't come. And of course they need to.
They have to follow up on every call. Yeah.
Exactly. Now we move to Granbury, Texas. Lynn DeWight, 48 years old. Unfortunately, we only have bits and pieces of this call. But she was drunk and really needed a smoke, and that's why she called 911.
Hey, County 911, what's the address of your emergency? Hello?
I'm calling 911 telling me I need some cigarettes.
I need some cigarettes.
What's your name?
Carrie Roberts.
I'm sorry, Carrie is your first name?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is a name that she made up, because her name is Linda White, but she gets caught.
I like the slow jam behind it.
Yeah, I know. What's up with that, right?
Spell it for me.
G-A-R-Y. Wait, I forgot how to spell my last name.
Yeah.
You said your last name is Roberts.
No, I think I
dialed
the wrong number.
So she hangs up, but the police still come out, and they actually arrested her and charged her with abusing the 911 emergency service. She was released on bond. By the way, in Texas, it carries up to a $2,000 fine and potentially 180 days in prison. However, she did do a follow-up interview with the news where she apologized.
Well, we were just kicking it in the backyard, just, a few beers too many, and then... Next thing you know, we're out of cigarettes. Well, I didn't want to drive to town, so I was drunk. And I'm deeply sorry for what I did.
I was drunk. If you're ever on TV saying the words, "I was drunk," then you're doing something right or wrong.
Agreed. But here's the thing. No matter how drunk I got, I would never call the police for cigarettes.
Right. She said she realized that they only pick up. They don't deliver when the police come out. Now we go to Norfolk, Virginia. Here's a montage of a whole bunch of 911 calls. People are in the area of the Virginia Zoo at around 10:15 a.m. last Wednesday, and they see a very strange animal.
Norfolk 911, where is your emergency?
Hello, I'd like to report a lion sighting across the street.
Now, how often does that happen?
A lion? Did he say lion?
A lion. How often does that happen?
Never.
I mean, look, these 911 operators, they're trained to, to handle anything. But who expects a phone call about a lion?
What? Say that again?
Oh, I'm driving down Granby Street right before the zoo, and there was a lion that ran across the street, a baby lion.
Oh. Okay,
it was about the size of a Labrador Retriever.
Okay.
It's roaming loose in the neighborhood.
Okay.
It's just a few blocks from the zoo in that neighborhood.
A few blocks from the zoo? Norfolk 911, where's your emergency?
I just
I'm southwest bound on Llewellyn, and I just saw an animal that looked like a small lion, had the mange and everything.
Now, I'm pretty sure that lions have manes really more than they have manges.
Did you say mange?
It had the mange and everything, he said, yeah. Well, it turned out all these calls came into 911. They sent the authorities out, and what they found was a Labrador poodle mix that was owned by a man named Daniel Painter. He lives near the zoo, and he has the dog groomed to look like a lion because of the Old Dominion University in Virginia. Its mascot is a lion, and he's a big supporter of the school.
Oh.
So he made his dog look like a little lion.
So everybody's freaking out, and it's just a dog.
It's just a dog, yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
At least in that case, you can't blame any of the people who called 911. I mean,
they were near a zoo.
Yeah, that's exactly what you should do is call 911 if you think there's a wild animal in the neighborhood. But that's a bizarre story. It turns out to be a dog.
So do call if it's a lion.
But if don't call if you need smokes. Right, exactly.
Right, okay. To get up, get down. 911 is joking, go down. Deny us now. Are you a drummer, Brad Williams?
I am.
Are you really?
Yeah. My little arms go fast.
He was air drumming to that Rise Against song, and I could tell he was actually playing the actual beats and the cymbals and everything else.
Woo!
Nicely done.
Yeah,
very impressive.
I can only do it, though, if the cymbals are really close to each other.
Yeah, it has to be a small drum set.
I can't reach very far.
Brad Williams is in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's America's most hilarious midget, and he is filling in for Ralph Garman on the Showbiz Beat today. Ralph will be back, we think, on Thursday. He is off filming a TV Western. Can't wait to hear all about that. He's riding a horse, wearing a badge.
Gonna be a cowboy, baby.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, it's been a while since I heard that song.
Yeah, bring it back. Well,
Brad
you know,
fill it in, and you have an awesome giveaway for Kevin and Bean listeners right now. This
exactly.
is really cool.
Sure, Ralph is gone and you're sad, but I've got something to make you better. What's better than a midget giving away gifts?
I can't think of anything.
Exactly, and especially when it's something good. How about a pair of tickets to PaleyFest 2013? All right, March 1st through the 15th. At the Sabin Theater in Beverly Hills, we're going to give you two tickets. For those of you who don't know what PaleyFest is, basically, it's a festival where they show a bunch of episodes of TV shows, but then have cast members there to do Q&A, directors and creators of the show, producers, so you could ask questions and get some answers.
Yeah, if you're a super fan, and this every year the lineup is incredible, but this year we did the Walking Dead giveaway yesterday. They've got Community, Big Bang Theory, The Newsroom, Nashville, Arrow, New Girl, a bunch of other ones on the schedule. Which one are you giving away today, Brad?
Today we're giving away tickets March 2nd for Revolution.
I love that show.
Revolution's been off the air for a while, but if you remember, it was the Blackout show. And it's coming back, and we can celebrate it at PaleyFest March 2nd. You can go see an episode of Revolution and then do a Q&A with the cast and crew. All you got to do is call in right now. 1-800-520-1067. Call right now. I think we're going to do two winners. Two different winners.
All right.
So call right now and you can go to that. In addition, we got showbiz news.
What callers?
Woo!
What colors? Colors 20 and 21. Good luck.
Sure. Let's do that. I'm new to this.
All right.
Okay. So many women are relieved today.
Because?
Ron Jeremy has been cleared to do porn again.
He actually had to get a physical to make sure that his heart can take it?
Yeah. As you may remember, he had a slight, was it an aneurysm? Mild heart attack last week. Or I think it was 2 weeks ago, but he's cleared to be back doing porn. They said if you can walk up a flight of stairs, you can do porn again. And Ron walked up that flight of stairs.
I'll bet.
And then a part of him was still three stairs up. So he's doing all right. Ron's excited. He said he's going to star in some senior citizen style porn now.
That's a joke. He's a funny guy. Please tell me that's a joke. He's a funny guy. That's
a
joke.
He is funny, and he is getting older.
Yeah, but that's a joke.
I hope he does. I can't wait to see it's fallen and it can't get up.
Nope.
AAR pound me.
Nope.
Should I bang her? Oh, no. Depends.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Does anybody need that much porno?
Yeah. Welcome back, Hedgehog.
Oh, my God.
That's all I'm going to say. Speaking of porn and other good habits, Steven Tyler did an interview with 60 Minutes, and he's done a lot of drugs.
Yeah.
He's done a lot of drugs.
He's done all
the drugs.
Yeah.
You got a drug? Steven Tyler's in your medicine cabinet right now.
Yeah, probably.
If you're not home. He told 60 Minutes that in his life, he believes he has snorted $5 million worth of cocaine.
Oh, my God.
$5 million. And I'm doing the Austin Powers mini-me finger to my mouth. $5 million. That's like the gross national product of Guam.
That's unbelievable.
He has snorted Guam.
Wow.
That's,
He's lucky to be alive.
He hasn't slept in about 32 years if he's done $5 million worth of cocaine.
He could use a nap.
No kidding. Someone get Steven Tyler a Tempur-Pedic pillow.
Oh, man.
Put him down. Man. Russell Brand is writing a new autobiography. And in this autobiography, he promises to dish all about his marriage to Katy Perry.
I'm talking about.
I read the first book. We had Russell Brand when he was promoting his first book, and I read it, and he's super funny, super interesting dude, had an interesting life, good writer.
Don't you want to hear about being married to Katy Perry?
I do. Yes, I do.
Yeah, that's hot.
I do. See, here's the thing. When I first heard this story, I'm like, much like you, Bean, I thought, didn't he already have an autobiography? And
right.
And I looked it up. It came out in 2007, so you're thinking this is the autobiography of 2008 to now.
Right. What? He's had a lot to talk about.
It's pretty much going to be only Katy Perry.
A lot of it may be.
Yeah, it's like it's Katy Perry and Get Him to the Greek stories. That's about all we can do right now, but that's fine with me.
I would like to extend to you an invitation to the pants party.
What's the name of it?
He hasn't named it yet. Now
I just said that's the name of it.
Oh. I'm a good listener. The first one was called My Bookie Wook.
Yes.
And I think this one should just be called Katy Perry's Boobs and My Time with Them.
I like it.
I think that would sell.
It would sell to me.
It better have pictures. And not the picture that he tweeted of Katy Perry at 2 a.m. with no makeup. Not that picture. I'm talking good pictures.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about Russell Brand. You got some. I know you do. Let's get to celebrity birthdays. Singer Michael Bolton. He's 60 today. 60.
Yeah.
Still singing, unfortunately. Erykah Badu is 42. Singer Corinne Bailey Rae is 34.
Well, that's easy for you to say.
Yeah, very easy for me.
How about you,
Kevin? Have you ever said that name successfully?
Coming up next, an unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey Rae. An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey Rae.
Wow.
No, I've never said it.
I speak English good.
Laker guard Steve Blake is 33, and actress Teresa Palmer from Warm Bodies and I Am Number 4 is 27 years old. I'm Brad Williams, and I pitter-patter on the show.
Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Tuesday. Our friend Brad Williams, hilarious comedian at Funny Brad, is filling in all day long on the Ralph Garvin Showbiz Beat. And I'm glad you're here, Brad, because I wanted to ask you in on this survey that I think you're going to be fascinated with.
All right.
You're a fan of the adult movies, right?
I'm a fan of the porn. Yeah. Absolutely.
I've seen your tweets. About half of them are with porn stars.
Yeah, what is the deal? How do so many porn stars end up at your comedy shows, Brad?
Because it's something that they haven't stuck up there yet. It's just something new for them. It's something completely new that can just anger Dad even more.
Like it.
And I'm fine with that.
Like it, yeah. For whatever reason, you don't care.
I don't care.
I think this is so interesting. A guy named John Millward has published a study that he has done called Deep Inside, a study of 10,000 porn stars and their careers.
Wow.
He spent 6 months examining the profiles of thousands of porn stars on the Internet Adult Film Base, which is the IMDb for the adult film industry, and compiled all the data he could find about their appearance, how old they are, what they do in their movies, even what their sex names are, you know, their stage names that they use for their films and stuff. And I just thought some of this stuff was actually kind of a surprise to me. For instance, ratio of male to female performers, just to give you an example, some of the sort of things. 70% of the porn performers that you see in movies are females. Now, that I don't think is a big surprise, right?
No,
we all know there's more.
And they get paid way more, right?
Yeah.
They do get paid way more. Yeah. 70% are also white, by the way, 14% black, 9% Latin, 5% Asian. Not a lot of Asians in the porn.
I thought the Asians would be way higher.
I was surprised by it. What do you suppose the average porn star weight is for a woman in the adult industry?
72 pounds. With or without boobs?
I
would bet it's right around 100.
Yeah.
117 pounds is the average porn star weight, which, by the way, is 48 pounds below the national average weight for women.
Wow.
48 pounds.
That just means they're trying harder.
What is the most common bra size for a female porn performer?
D.
I would hope D. Yeah.
D ranks fourth, by the way. Actually, I take it back. D ranks third, double D ranks fourth. Number one, the most common bra size in porn is 34.
34?
The most,
what cup size?
B. Yeah. 34B is the most common bra size. Yep.
That's a lot of starving porn stars then.
B.
And then C and then D and then double D are the top four. Isn't that a surprise, by the way? Isn't that a lot smaller than you thought it would be?
That's a shocker.
Absolutely.
I think maybe that's a question that has to do with self-selection. Maybe 100% of the porn at your house is double D, Kevin. Maybe that's what's going on here. What percentage of female porn stars, Kevin and Brad, have a tattoo?
95%, and 75% is a butterfly right above the butt.
I'm going to go the other direction because I think they wouldn't put it in because that's the that would
well
be
they put they put them they yeah. put them all in they put in all statistics.
I'm still going the other direction. I'm going 30%.
You're closer, Kevin. 42% of women in porn have a tattoo. And again, this is professional porn, you know, with adult IMDb. This isn't the amateur porn. You know, there's all different kinds of people out there. Men, by the way, it's 24% have a tattoo.
Oh, I would have thought it was way higher with men.
Yeah, no
what percentage of female porn stars have a piercing somewhere other than their ears?
I would think that'd be even lower than the tattoo. I think that would be 22%.
I'm going to say 23, so if it's higher, I will.
Oh, you Price is Right me. You bastard.
Apparently a lot of nipple rings out there. 40%.
Oh. Wow.
40% was a shock to me.
You know your porn, Kevin.
The average age of women when they make their porn debut.
Porn debut.
19.
I'm going to go 20.
22 is the actual answer.
You bastard!
By the way,
I hope Bob Barker clips you.
I thought this was interesting. The average debut age for women has not changed in porn in 40 years. However, in the 1970s, the average debut age for men was 29. Now that's down to 24. All right, couple more questions again from the porn survey. This won't surprise you, by the way. Out of 2,850 female porn stars, what state produces
Florida,
the most of
Florida.
Them? Florida is number two with 260. Number one, ladies and gentlemen, the great state of California.
Okay.
Of course. It's based here. Makes sense.
Yeah.
939 of that number are from California. Florida was number two, and then Texas, and then New York, which are, you know, the four most populous states, so it makes sense that they would be higher. All right. Average number of years that a female porn star spends in the industry.
I would say one or less than one.
Really? That little?
You just turn them and burn them, Brad.
Wow. Yeah,
based on what I've seen. They make a couple of paychecks, a couple of bad decisions, and
I think that's the exception, though. I'm going to go with 3 years.
3 years is dead on, Kevin.
Thanks, absolutely.
But, Brad, that's interesting that you would say that because that's one of the movies, in fact, that I read about it. I would think that you would make a couple of movies and then would get pretty hooked on the money being okay and the work being fun. You know what I mean? And you'd want to stay in it. I think most of these girls are forced out of it after a very short time because people are always looking for somebody new to come along.
Sure. And then they hit the ripe old age of 22 and you're over the hill.
That's back on the pole.
Yeah.
It's also interesting in historical perspective here, by the way. Porn stars' careers have consistently been getting shorter over the last 40 years. Back in the 1970s for a woman, the average porn career was 9 years. In the 80s, 7 years. 90s, 5 years. Now it's down to 3 years.
3 years.
Average number of movie titles in which female porn stars star as women.
Meaning not gay?
No. I mean, I just phrased the question badly. Okay. I'm looking for – this question is just for women, not for men.
Oh.
Female porn stars appear in how many movies in average?
I'm letting you go first this time.
You mean we have to pick a number of how many movies per year?
How many movies? No, they make a total.
All of them put together.
Dear God.
I don't understand the question.
Yeah, I don't either.
The average number of movie titles in which female porn stars appear.
Okay.
In other words, there are thousands of women. Right. What's the average number of movies that they appear in?
I'm going to each one or as a group? 20,000. I'm going to say 20,000.
No, I'll do 150.
Look, some girls are in 150 movies. Some girls are in two. What's the average number?
Oh,
average.
An average for a one woman.
Yes.
You didn't ask that well.
I asked in five different ways.
My bad.
I know porn good.
I'm going to go six.
Six.
Okay.
I'll go with 72.
Well, the answer, not that I care anymore, is 19. All right. A couple more because we're running out of time. But this survey just goes on and on and on and on and on, by the way. Mm-hmm. But we only have time for a couple more. Now, this is a complicated question, but apparently I'm not up for it.
Sure you're not up for a lot of things in porn, Bean.
That's true.
The most common female roles that appear in film titles ranked by frequency of use. And I'll give you a couple examples. For instance, movies that have a girl who is referred to as a sorority girl or a school girl or a hitchhiker or a babysitter. What do you think the top, say, two or three are in the porn world? World of how the woman is described in the title.
I have two guesses.
I do too. Mine would be nurse and masseuse.
Oh, mine was nurse and co-ed.
Okay. Nurse is number 5 on the list.
What?
Co-ed is number 7 on the list.
Where's masseuse?
Would you care to guess? Masseuse is not listed in the top 15.
I suck at this game.
You lose, my friend.
Would you like to take a couple more guesses?
Wow, what else would it be?
Teacher?
Student.
Cheerleader.
Cheerleader is number 4.
Student.
Cheerleader is number 4. Schoolgirl we mentioned was number 13.
Oh, okay.
What the?
Some of the other ones, just to get you warmed up. Hitchhiker is number 14. Runaway, number 15. Sorority girl, number 12. Babysitter, number 11. Sister, number 10.
Oh, I know one.
Cougar, number 9.
MILF
is number 2.
Yeah. Well,
number 2.
Playing the feud.
Number 2.
Pornstar Family Feud. I'm winning.
Girlfriend is 8, co-ed is 7, daughter is 6, then nurse, then cheerleader. Number 3 on the list is wife.
Okay.
Number 2 is MILF. Come on, guys.
Number 1 is clown.
Clown is number 1, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Actually, the answer is teen. Teen is number 1.
I wasn't thinking age.
Yeah.
Teen is number 1.
You never think about age, Kevin.
You got to start asking for ID.
He is one of the most successful horror movie producers in the business. He's been behind Paranormal Activity and Sinister and Dark Skies and a whole bunch more. He'll tell us about a brand new terrifying TV show coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on The Kevin and Bean Show. We'll welcome Jason Blum. Right now, though, the Afro line is on the air at 323-520-AFRO. That's our voicemail 24 hours a day. You call us, leave a message, we play it back for you.
Hang on, hold it. Hang on just a second.
What's happening now?
I left my piece of paper that had all of the stuff written on it. Okay, so this guy is happy with our show and thinks that we are not hitting one particular topic enough.
Really? You guys are still doing the vomiting joke? It's just sad at this point, guys. I mean, they've been going on far too long. You've stopped beating the dead horse. Its head is now a pile of mush. Please, move on.
He didn't vomit at the end of that call?
Didn't you think that was what was the joke was?
Absolutely.
No, he was very upset about it for real.
Well, I'm going to call his Afro line and file a complaint with him for not vomiting. How do you like that?
I don't think he has one. Here's one about Muggs.
You know, I don't know why you guys hate on Peter Muggs so much. He's a good guy. He's a nice guy. He tries. I mean, come on. Let him lose the weight when he wants to lose the weight. You know what, Peter Muggs? I got your back. You know, all this complimenting Peter Muggs kind of making my stomach upset.
Yeah, don't worry about it. The next guy will take care of that.
Very well done, sir.
Isn't that funny that he was the very next call? This is about The Bachelor. And I hate to tell the caller this, but you're wrong, dude.
Well, let it go. Nobody watches The effing Bachelor. It's a stupid effing show. Let it go!
Now, here's where you're wrong. I agree with you that it's a stupid effing show. A lot of people watch that show.
Yeah, it's hugely successful.
It's hugely successful. Now, you know, I'm like anyone else. I think if I don't watch a show, it probably isn't successful, which is a ridiculous viewpoint, but it's sort of normal, I think. So that guy hates the show, and he wants Ralph to stop talking about it. It is a monster.
And by the way, 100% of hot chicks watch it, too. So keep that in mind. At least there's that.
Talking to NASCAR.
Hey, I heard Danica Patrick is going to be on the pole. That is so awesome. Oh,
pole position in NASCAR. Oh, who the hell cares about NASCAR? Dang it.
Yeah, very disappointed. He thought that was something else entirely.
Stop saying that everything is the best. Oh, he's coming on the show. He's the best. Oh, I love that song. It's the best. Oh, we're going to talk to so-and-so. They're the best. Screw you guys.
I love that call. She's the best.
That was the best call we've ever had, huh?
You guys have to revisit the topic of things that you hate that everybody else in the world loves.
Remember that? We've done that topic many times.
Sure.
Like The Bachelor, for example. You may... Right. I hate The Bachelor. Everyone else in the world seems to love it. However, I do have to disagree with this caller at this point. From this point on, she is dead to me.
Because I cannot stand The Walking Dead. So over it.
What?
The Walking Dead. I've been saying it my whole life. I'll be saying it till the day I die. The Walking Dead.
Yeah, she's wrong. I hope she gets eaten by a zombie.
I do, too. Die. How about an Armenian comedian joke? Bean? Anyone?
Can I say no? Can I vote no?
You can. I'm going to play it anyway.
There you go, two bars in the party. In Armenian soap opera. There's a man, Jesus, he's disappeared, and there is not there.
Was that the whole joke, or did he hang up in the middle?
That was the whole joke. You want to hear it again?
Because no, I really don't.
I couldn't make sense of it. I listened to it five times in the other room, and I thought, no possible way to even make sense of that. It doesn't. It's just nonsense.
Right.
Then he called back with a musical instrument.
We have to disconnect this phone line.
No way. I love Sam so much. I love him so much. And finally, a request.
Hey, guys, can you replay the clip with Bean and Elizabeth Banks? Because I just turned on the TV, and I came across a movie called Slither. And I remember when you had her on her show, and I'm just trying for the life of me figure out exactly what did she do in that movie?
This is one of the all-time classic moments
it
with
is.
Bean. He doesn't have very many, but this one he got mired in quicksand and just could not get out.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Now, I know that you were in Slither, and I remember seeing that movie at the time, but it seemed like it was a long time ago. What stuff did you do in Slither?
What stuff did I do in Slither?
Where are you going with this, Bean?
Who were you in Slither? Did you chase snakes? What did you do back then?
That was a moment with Bean.
Here's the part that makes it worse. He loves her.
I do love her.
He loves her.
I think I was a little bit flustered. I think I was because the last thing you want to do is embarrass yourself in front of a hot chick, and that's exactly what happened there. Sorry, Elizabeth Banks.
323-520-AFRO 24 hours.
So what's your policy on horror movies? Because
love it.
The more terrifying it is, the more likely you are to go, right? That's
yes.
your thing.
Yes.
Like if the trailer just creeps you the F out,
yes.
you're there.
I'm there first day. Yeah, the more scary, the better.
Well, we got a guy that you're going to love, and I bet you've seen every one of his movies. As a producer, he's been behind Paranormal Activity, a whole bunch of those, Insidious, Sinister, Dark Skies in theaters now, and he has a project coming on television that is going to be perfect for you, premiering tomorrow night on the Sci-Fi Channel. Jason Blum joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Jason. How are you, man?
Hey, really good. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
It is a pleasure. Man, do you love horror movies personally, or do you just know that they're moneymakers?
I love scaring people in any and all ways. We had a haunt in L.A. called the Blum House of Horrors in October. That was our first live event, which was a lot of fun. I like to see people scream. I'm sick. I'm a sick man.
Where do you think that came from? What was happening in your life as a kid growing up that made you be so attracted to horror? Do you think?
A lot of horror. I don't know. I always really liked scary movies. I got really into it, weirdly enough, there was a class in college that was just Hitchcock movies.
Oh, no kidding.
So we watched every one, we analyzed them to death, and I really got into the idea of kind of scaring people without just grossing them out.
Right.
And we don't do that all the time. We have a Rob Zombie movie coming up, which is pretty graphic, which I love. I'm really proud of it, and I think he did a great job in it. But most of the movies that we do are not terribly gory. They're just scary, and I'm really into that.
Well, I think this is fascinating, this TV show that you're on to talk about today, because it's called Stranded. As I mentioned, it premieres on Sci-Fi tomorrow night. And this is kind of your first foray into reality horror, right? Now, tell me about these places that you make people go that are, can I say, haunted?
Yes. Well, that's exactly right. And you're right. We've been kind of dipping our toe more into TV. We had a show on a scripted show on ABC called The River a couple of years ago, which was fun. And this is our, and we were trying to think of what would be the unscripted version of the kind of scares that we do. And so we looked at haunted places all over the United States and zeroed in on a few. And we'd pick a small group, you know, a couple or two or three people. And some of them are big believers in ghosts, and some of them think it's all nonsense, but are willing to, you know, see if they can be. We put them in a location, and they're alone. There's no camera crew or anything in there with them. They have their own cameras, which they hold, and we mount cameras around a location so we get to spy on them.
Okay.
And we leave them there for a few days, and we watch what happens. And it's pretty cool. Like, it's like people, even the biggest non-believer, not to say that they didn't necessarily come out of believing ghosts, although some of them do, but they get scared in ways that they wouldn't have anticipated.
Look, I'm a non-believer as well. I don't think places are haunted, but there have been stuff that happens at my house that I have to go, okay, that was nothing, that was nothing, that was nothing. And if you're there with two or three people and somebody else is scared, then you really could kind of fall into that trap.
Yeah, it's infectious, and if you're at a place that isn't your house, you know, so that it's a place that you've never been to before, and you know that you've read about the different sightings that have happened. I'm kind of with you. I'm not a big believer in the supernatural. I think there's more that can be explained by science, but I don't really know what it is. But that's kind of our best victim, for lack of a better word, is that people like us, who are kind of on the fence and then legitimately get scared.
I'm really happy that you have some cameras that are fixed around those houses, because when I first read that the contestants were going to hold the cameras, I thought of 100 concerts that I've been to where they start recording a video and then they start jumping up and down and dancing all over the place, and you just think, there's no possible way they will ever watch that video.
Well, yeah, it's very, very, I do not all, but a lot of found footage movies, and you know, and then obviously the reality show, and it's hard to hold a camera steady.
It really, and when you think you're holding it steady, you watch your back, you go, wow, that's really jerking all over the place.
I was not only, yeah, those DPs, they're professional DPs for a reason. We all find out.
Yeah. Exactly. And you can't hire drinkers for that job, right? They got to have a steady hand. Let's play a clip from Stranded. Jason Blum is on the phone. He's the producer again. It premieres tomorrow night on the Sci-Fi Channel. This gives you an idea of what these people find themselves into. Sometimes when they're in abandoned, like, state hospitals or prisons, you can imagine it's pretty creepy, and it sounds like it is.
We have been driving in the middle of nowhere to get to this location that we're going to be living in for 5 days.
There's been a lot of paranormal activity spotted in this house.
Every step you take, you feel like there's somebody behind you.
That door just closed.
I'm not going back in there.
What was that?
I'll tell you, you need one of those good screamers per house.
Right.
That good screamer would freak me the F out.
And I'll tell you something else. I'll tell you, I see myself in this because I'm the girl who says, I ain't going back in there. That's me. Well, the show sounds like a lot of fun, Jason. Tomorrow night on the Sci-Fi Channel, look for it. It's called Stranded at 9. Thanks for coming on. We enjoyed it.
Thanks for having me.
What are you doing, Beer Mug? God damn it.
Beer Mug Light back there.
What's happening? 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:53.
Brad Williams, one of our favorite comedians. As a matter of fact, I was talking about you, Brad, in studio, filling in for Ralph Garman on the Showbiz Beat today. You got any Southern California comedy gigs coming up, Brad? Are you just around the country this time of year?
I'm around the country, but I am doing a gig Wednesday, April 3rd. I'm actually doing a really special gig. It's at the Fox Theater in Fullerton, and it's going to be a charity show for Fullerton Cares, which tries to keep autism education going in elementary schools.
And nice of you.
Yeah, and I'm doing a big show there. It seats about 900 people.
Wow,
and
that's your hometown.
Yeah, that's my hometown. It's the Fox Theater. It's been completely renovated. It looks great. And that's going to be April 3rd. I believe you can go to the Fullerton Cares Facebook page, and they've got information there on tickets. I'm doing the lineups, though. So I'm calling all my friends.
Oh, nice.
So it's going to be, I don't.
You're in charge?
I'm in charge.
What's happening?
They put a midget in charge. Yeah. So, yeah, that's Wednesday, April 3rd at the Fox Theater in Fullerton.
But, hey, I've seen Game of Thrones. It's dangerous when you put the little guy in charge, man. Come on.
More whores! More whores!
All right, let's take a look at the showbiz beat for this hour here on the Kevin Beach Show. What's going on?
Well, the big news in show business today is that the lineup for Dancing with the Stars, maybe?
Sort of stars?
Was announced today. Comedian D.L. Hughley will be dancing. I'm excited for that one.
Me too.
I'm excited for to see D.L.
I mean, I'm not going to watch.
No.
But I'm excited for it in theory.
Jacoby Jones from the Super Bowl champion Baltimore Ravens. He's a wide receiver. He'll be there. Lisa Vanderpump, who is housewife of Beverly Hills. Winona Judd will be on there. Kelly Pickler from American Idol. Ali Ressman.
Wasn't Kelly Pickler hot?
I believe so.
Yes. Yes, she is.
I believe we could have a bell for that.
All right.
She was a top 10 contestant on American Idol one of the early seasons, and then she lost and then instantly went out and got enormous breast implants and has had a somewhat successful career as a country music singer since then.
See, ladies? that's what you do. You know, show business got you down in the dumps. Don't know what to do. Boob it up. Do that. Ali Ressman from the United States gymnastics team. She won a gold medal, so there you go.
Hmm.
Dorothy Hamill, figure skater in 1979.
Wow. Woo! I think she has a fan base with a lot of older people, though. I mean, she was America's sweetheart there
right.
for a few years.
Yeah, because anyone younger doesn't know who they weren't born yet.
And what?
Right.
How good will she be on the diving board?
No, they're
diving off of.
No, they're not
oh,
diving.
Oh, this is Dancing with the Stars. I'm sorry.
I know. It's hard to keep them all straight.
She's too old for Dancing with the Stars as well.
Yeah. I don't know.
Huh.
Some soap opera star named Ingo Radmaker.
Ingo. He or she is terrific.
They do good work, that man
that
or woman.
Ingo. Professional boxer Victor Ortiz. Zendaya Coleman from the Disney Channel. And my personal favorite, Andy Dick, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my God.
Andy Dick. I was telling you guys this story off air, and I'll clean it up for radio.
Yes, please.
But I once got a gig at a comedy club because Andy Dick got fired on a Thursday, and they needed a replacement to do the rest of the weekend.
He was going to do Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Yeah.
And he got fired after the first
The first 20 minutes of him being on stage.
All right.
And he got fired for putting his testicles in someone's drink.
What's the world? I don't want to live in an America where you can't put your testicles in someone's drink. Come on.
Yeah, he bagged the rum and coke. That's what he did.
He'll go over well with it.
Yeah, so I owe a lot of thank you to Andy Dick. So you got me a gig. I hope that if someone wants him to dance off time, if like Andy Dick's really killing it, and they're like, he's killing it.
What, are you crazy?
He's doing well. How can we throw him off? Just like sprinkle some white powder like on the dance floor. He'll just stop it. just go for it.
Sounds like a horse.
that was me attempting to do a cocaine impression.
I got you. All right.
I failed miserably. It's okay.
It's all right.
Woo! Speaking of...
you should let Dancing with the Stars know that mm-hmm. as soon as they kick Andy Dick off, you're available.
I can go.
Yeah.
I can substitute.
Just step right in.
I mean, I can give lap dances on Dancing with the Stars, right?
You could do Dancing with the Stars.
I could do... I
of course
can do
you
Dancing
could.
With the Stars.
You're not a star, but neither are most of those people, so that's all right.
I don't know who half these people are. It'll just make sense. Plus, you have dwarf dancing.
Right.
What's better than that? Everybody wins.
Correct.
New campaign.
All right.
Psycho Mike can do it. I can do it. I'll do the Hedo Rick. Yeah. Now, The Onion. I love reading The Onion. I love The Onion. It's a satirist. They go on Twitter. They have hilarious tweets. They were live tweeting the Oscars.
Right.
And they got in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah.
Because during the Oscars, they sent out a tweet. And you know the 8-year-old actress that got nominated. Was it Best Actress or Best Supporting Actress?
Best Actress, I think.
Best Actress.
Yeah, I think she was. For what's her name? Quvenzhané Wallace?
Yeah, Quvenzhané Wallace. She was nominated. And The Onion sent out this tweet that said, everyone else seems afraid to say it, but that Quvenzhané Wallace is kind of a C-word. And they sent that out there. And a lot of people got upset. And the
wait, just because they called a 9-year-old the C word, people got upset?
I know!
But don't they see it's from The Onion and go, oh.
You would think. And
look, bad taste?
Sure.
Of course.
But see,
it's The Onion.
Yeah, The Onion is a satiristic Twitter. They do jokes. In my opinion, when you hear a joke, you don't have the option to be offended. It's either ha-ha or no ha-ha. That is it. That is all. And The Onion apologized. They took down the tweet. Onion, come on, man. Stand up for it. You know, don't back down. Don't apologize, in my opinion.
It's a beginning of a slippery slope, I'll tell you that.
Right.
That's the problem, is that once people realize if they complain enough,
yeah,
you'll change it,
yeah,
then you're in a lot of trouble.
And they're live tweeting the Oscars. When you're live tweeting an event, it's instant. You got to come up with jokes instantly. You're just all the time, constantly for three hours.
I can see why people were offended, because
sure,
she's 9.
Right.
I can also see why the person sending it sent it, because it's the opposite of true. She's the cutest little girl in
she's
the world.
She's darling.
Right.
She's sweet, so obviously calling
so
her the C
the
word.
What's the worst thing I could do? That would be funny, blah, blah, blah. You can see both sides.
Yeah. All I'm saying is, don't apologize. If you didn't find the tweet funny, great. But
don't follow The Onion.
Yeah, don't follow The Onion, or wait 10 seconds for the next Oscar tweet, and I'm sure the next one was hilarious. So there you go. Let's get to celebrity birthdays, everybody. Singer Michael Bolton is 60 years old today. Erykah Badu is 42. Singer with an amazingly easy name to pronounce, Corinne Bailey Ray. She's 34.
I've had trouble with that name.
Coming up next, an unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey Ray. An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey Ray. Wow.
Well, whoever that is, she's 34 years old today.
I wonder why the Grammys haven't called me back.
I wonder.
That's weird.
Lakers guard Steve Blake is 33. I'm Brad Williams. Follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad, and I pitter-patter on the showbiz.
By the way, tomorrow here on the Kevin and Bean Show, not to get ahead of ourselves, but we got a great program lined up for you, including Adam Carolla joining us. Our old friend Jeff Probst, host of Survivor, is going to be on the show. Comedian Ben Hoffman will be here. And Donnie Wahlberg. He's one of the new kids, isn't he, Dave? Donnie
Wahlberg? Yeah. It's a blue blood.
And of course, he's also Blue Bloods, and he has he's a producer of a new reality show about the police in Boston called Boston's Finest. We got all of that tomorrow for you right here on the world-famous K-Rock.
We don't really want to talk about the Academy Awards anymore because we're Academy Awarded out, but there was a funny story that happened, and we do want to talk about that. Somebody reportedly unloaded in one of the restrooms.
Why do you have to say it like that?
And because that's what happened, dude.
Couldn't there have just been a plumbing
firebombed
malfunction?
It. No,
why does it have to be somebody unloaded?
Aren't those places usually they have super strong toilets, super strong flushes, everything, right?
They have
I
huge
don't know what
suction.
You're
basing that on.
So the lobby was flooded at the Dolby Theater where they were having the Academy Awards just before the curtain opened.
I just pooped.
Somebody destroyed so much that the lobby was flooded. That's unbelievable.
Look,
congratulations to whoever did that.
That must have been an unbelievably embarrassing moment for that poor woman. And I guess we found out it was one of the – who was it? It was a guy who was up for one of the lesser
editing,
awards,
right?
Editing or something like that. He was his mom or grandma or somebody like that.
That
was an
Oscar-winning
performance.
I hope it was his grandma.
So
she pooped an Oscar.
She's walking away from that bathroom, and she's out for the fanciest evening of her life. She's at the freaking Academy Awards with her son, right?
Do you think she noticed it right away, like the water was rising, and then she was like,
"She bailed."
Oh, no! So she got out and ran out, and then the poo water was following her through the lobby.
I think that's exactly what happened. And I think that's one of the most terrifying positions a person can be in, is realizing that you're the one who just blocked the toilet, and now it's overflowing, and you see that water getting higher and higher and higher toward the lid, and you're like, no!
And there's nothing you can do at that moment.
Run.
And just then get out. Make sure no one knows it's you.
Yeah,
you can just pray that you're in a public place and not in your own house or something like that. So I can't believe that Omar's not in here right now, because this is going to be this is orgasm talk for Omar here to all these stories. But we want to take calls on situations that you were in where you brought it.
You destroyed.
You wrecked the toilet. That's what we're looking for.
Here's the thing. Please understand this carefully. We don't need details. We're all very familiar with what goes on in the bathroom. So we're taking for granted that you really had to and all of that. We got it. Don't worry about that kind of detail. But we do want to know,
Where were you?
Where were you when you destroyed something with your butt?
And how much damage was done, and what was the fallout from that?
Right. Now, Omar was in the office, and he had no stories. And Dave, the King of Mexico, who's in with us now, he had story after story after story. I finally had to leave to get away from his stories.
Now, are these all stories, Dave, of you bringing the carnage?
Yes.
Or this just, really?
Yes.
Yeah, what is going on with you?
Well, I drink a lot, Bean, and sometimes I get an upset stomach because, you know, drinking leads to eating and stuff. So,
are you eating your own body weight every day or something like that? And it's got to go somewhere.
Well, you know, I would say I'm a plump guy, so
plump is nice.
Yeah. All right. And there was one time we were in Big Bear, and you know, you drink, you get. Well, anyways,
we don't need details. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I wake up in the morning. We're about to go snowboarding, and I just unleash.
Right.
I flush, and mind you, this bathroom has carpet in it. And next thing you know, I'm washing my hands, and I just see it rising, and then it comes up, and then it overflows the toilet, and it keeps going. And what do? Drop a towel and peace out.
Run, yeah.
You go right to...
Oh my God.
I go right to the mountain to start boarding.
Hey, not your problem, not your bathroom.
Not my cabin, you know? So,
man.
At least it was the last day when we were leaving, so...
That's a nice little party gift.
I left a little tip for the maid. You know?
Oh my God, Dave. Has it ever happened to you in somebody else's house, like you're over for a party or for dinner or something like that? Because that now everybody knows it's you, and that has to be the most embarrassing
thing.
Bean,
I guarantee you don't remember this. I don't think you remember this.
I'm sure I don't. You know my memory.
You had a party at your house.
Oh, wow. How long ago must that have been?
I haven't let humans in my house
for decades.
But Donna invited everybody, and everybody came as like a housewarming party or something. It was probably 91.
Okay.
And I went upstairs and destroyed your toilet. And it started running out like over the hallway. And I ran downstairs and I was like, somebody destroyed the toilet. It wasn't me. I didn't even go yet. I totally lied to your wife, and she ran up and she took care of it.
That was wonderful. You see her with gloves.
I just shaking. Bean, that was one of the chances.
Why did you do that? That's why we had to burn that place down.
What? I didn't think about that till yesterday afternoon.
Really?
So long ago, but I was in your house.
Do you feel better now coming clean, telling that story?
I wish I would have taken credit for it earlier, because really it was pretty strong.
Now, let me ask you guys this before we go to the calls here. And Adam, you hang on. We're going to get to you. 1-800-520-1067. I would imagine, I'm just guessing now, but I would imagine this happens a lot more often now than it used to because of all the low-flow toilets.
Right. Exactly. If it's not very strong, then... You know, it gets clogged.
It just doesn't have the water pressure that it used to be able to push stuff.
But I think the toilets are better now, so they have a better suction and
that's what I think, especially in big places like the theater.
And I take it as a challenge.
The Dolby Theater.
You know, I'm coming for you, toilets. You know?
All right.
You think you're so bad?
Oh, yeah. Let's squeeze in Adam real fast at line one, please. Adam is up first here on the Kevin and Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067. Adam, you brought the carnage.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Where were you?
This is back when I was in high school. My friends and I used to wait for people that we knew but we didn't like to have a party. And when we found out they were having a party, we'd go to like Tommy's Burgers a couple hours in advance and just, you know, get chili cheese fries and everything.
Oh, my God.
Once the party was going and everybody was good and drunk, we'd go in the house, and then one after the other, we'd go in and we'd wreck it, and we'd call it building a mountain because we wouldn't flush it.
Oh, no.
Building a mountain. This is the worst conversation I've ever been a part of. Ever.
1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls.
Is this why we don't win awards?
This is exactly why we don't win awards. No matter how long I live, will never forget the day that I learned about building a mountain. I wish that image were not in my mind.
Oh, I love it so much. I can't wait to put
you,
that into
the
practice.
Please don't. It's the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. After what happened at the Academy Awards there at the Dolby Theater on Sunday, where somebody flooded the lobby, basically, by the restaurant. By the restroom overflowing. We're taking your calls. Listen to this from Katrina. It wasn't me who destroyed, but I was at Dodger Stadium in a long women's restroom line. I got in and the stall was, shall we say, not pleasant. I flushed and proceeded to flood the entire restroom.
Oh,
lovely.
No.
She didn't even get to go, yet she still ended up flooding it. All right, let's take Jonathan here on line 8 at 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Jonathan. Thanks a lot for calling.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you. What did you destroy?
Taco Bell restroom.
Taco Bell.
Before the handicapped school kids had to go to the restroom.
Wait, what?
You were in a handicapped stall?
No. It's the one restroom kind of thing.
Yeah, Taco Bell, they just have that one restroom, and either sex can use it.
Yeah, and I completely destroyed it.
And then some handicapped kids went in there?
And handicapped kids were waiting in line. They were on
the trip. Wait, did you know they were in line?
No, I didn't. They came in while I was in the restroom.
All right.
Oh, wow.
Then nice work. As long as you didn't know.
Let's go to Dave from Los Angeles. He's on line 9. Hi, Dave. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. What's up? Once I was at a club on Melrose.
Wait, hold on. Is this the King of Mexico again?
Yes. So there was only one bathroom of the unisex, and, dude, I destroyed it. People were trying to come in, and it was gross, dude. So it starts, you know, not working, and right. It's just sitting there. And then I just walk out, and there's only one bathroom, and I win, and I had to leave.
You win. All right, you hold on.
Dave already came in and told a story. Now he's calling us with more?
He's got stories for days.
Let's try John on line 3 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. John, you wrecked a toilet where? What happened?
This was actually at work about 10 years ago. I worked at retail right out of high school. And what had happened was I took a break to go to the bathroom. And, you know, back then I was a much bigger guy than I am now.
Right.
And
I feel like we're getting too much backstory here.
I do, too.
So I don't think we need the high school and the retail. We don't need any of that.
We don't need big guy.
Well, the gist of the story is I went to the bathroom. I destroyed it. I clogged it. And I got up. And as I got up, I saw that I clogged. And I knew that everybody knew that I was in there. And I panicked. And just like Jean-Claude Van Damme in Bloodsport when he fishes out a fish out of water.
Yeah, I don't know that we want to hear the rest of this story, do we?
What did he do? I didn't see that movie.
Do we want to hear the rest of the story?
Yeah, what did you do,
John? I'm telling you don't want to hear the rest of the story.
What did you do, John?
I sitting and unclogged it with my bare hand, and I didn't even realize what I did until after I'd already done it.
I told you didn't want to hear it.
This is the worst phone conversation I have ever had.
Oh, my God. Let's go to Dave on line 9. Dave, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's your story?
Oh, man, I was in Vegas at a club.
Why is there so much fiber in Dave's diet? What's happening?
I'm attendant. Just, you know, you see the little can right over and just start spraying. And then I had to tell him, dude, here's a 5.
Wait, while you were sitting, the bathroom attendant sprayed your stall?
In my eyes. I forgave him because I felt bad.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Dave.
Let's go to Lynn. She's on line 6. This sounds like one of the most bizarre stories ever. Lynn, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, how you doing?
We've been better.
I want to lay down. I'm actually not feeling very well. What happened?
That's too bad. Well, I just moved into this apartment, and I did my business. I overflowed the toilet. It was one of those upstairs crappy toilets.
Right.
And so I called the manager, and he came over, and he was really cute, so I was really embarrassed. And anyways, so I didn't want to be anywhere near the bathroom, and he cleaned the toilet, and he came out, and he had this odd smile on his face, and I thought, well, that's odd because it was kind of smelly and gross and embarrassing. And then I realized I left my vibrator in the sink.
Ah. Yay! So a prize.
So a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down.
Yeah, something, but it was like way worse than the walk of shame.
Oh, okay.
All right. That's rough. That is rough. Dear Kevin and Bean, this is actually my boyfriend's toilet-destroying moment at an airport restroom after finishing his business and flushing. Everything rises to the top. It actually spills out onto the floor toward the guy in the next stall who is wearing sandals.
Oh!
My boyfriend booked it out of there and after a little bit saw a janitor dashing toward the restroom, presumably to right the wrong that had happened, says Elise. This is unpleasant. Can we not do this anymore? Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Tuesday. It's been sweet relief having Beer Mug out this week. I have to tell you how much I'm enjoying it and how much the air smells better and how much more food there is for everybody else. It's nothing but win, especially since we have a girl in studio filling in for Beer Mug, our friend Chip, who, as you know, has been answering the phones here on the Kevin Bean Show for a long time. She is also the bass player for a very popular band in Orange, I guess in Orange County tonight, but you play all over the place, called Fiction Reform. And you got a free show tonight that I want people to know about because it sounds like it's going to be super fun.
Yeah, tonight is the final for the OC Music Awards Best Local Band contest. And what happened was over the last couple months, they had 500 applicants. They whittled it down to 35. Mm-hmm. Those 35 bands had different showcases throughout the week where, you know, everyone competed.
Right.
From that, they picked five top bands to perform tonight at the House of Blues Anaheim.
Right.
So there's my band, Fiction Reform, but also some great bands like Nilu, Robert John and the Wreck, Solution, and Jeremiah Red. 8 o'clock, it's free. And it's a night of great bands.
You're in the top five.
Top five.
Yeah, that's very impressive.
They probably don't know I'm in it.
Yeah.
And your band is awesome. You guys have two albums out. You've been with them for the most recent one. You joined after the first one. And they're really, really good. And you've been opening for some unbelievable bands in the last couple months, too. And you got a lot of support from some of the bands that you've looked up to.
Yeah, it's been pretty rad. We opened for Social D in January. And I've learned that Offspring is a big fan of us.
Yeah, isn't that bizarre?
It's way weird.
Yeah.
You've got an Offspring tattoo, by the way, and they're a fan of your band. That's insane.
Do they use a full-size bassist on stage?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's at the House of Blues, is that right, in Anaheim tonight at what time, 9 o'clock?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock, and you're going to be performing the OC Music Awards. Congratulations, Chip. That's very cool. Very
Thank
cool
you.
News. Speaking of music, Billboard Magazine has been all over my TV the past couple of weeks because they have made a change in their policy that has coincided nicely with a new number one song in America. Let's hear a little bit of that Harlem Shake before we go to our guest. So this is the... this is the music that you hear on the hundreds of YouTube videos where basically somebody is making a motion in the first 15 seconds of the video while everybody else on the screen is just sitting around appearing disinterested. And then they all jump up and down. Why is that so loud?
Because it kicks in right there.
And join in on the dancing, and it's just become a phenomenon. I mean, everybody from, you know, the band Matt and Kim to Stephen Colbert to Jimmy Fallon to, you know, people underwater and Power Rangers and skydivers, like everybody's making a Harlem Shake video, and that has helped it become the number one song in America on Billboard Magazine. Like, how did this happen? We wanted to find out. So we asked for our friend Joe Levy, who joins us as the editor of Billboard Magazine, back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Joe.
Hey.
How's it going?
It's going great. How are you guys
Very
doing?
Good. Thank you.
Doing fine. I saw you on, I think it was on Access Hollywood or something like that the other night. I guess everybody's talking about your new chart policy. What's going on, dude?
YouTube data. Now part of the data that we use to put together the Hot 100 and other charts as well. But the Hot 100 is the singles chart we all pay attention to. That YouTube data has been a missing piece. We've been in discussions with YouTube and Nielsen, who provides us with our data, for about 18 months.
And
this isn't something we just thought, like, woke up one day and thought, that's a pretty cool video. Let's put that in there.
Is this the biggest change on the top 100 charts in a long, long time?
It's certainly the biggest in a long time, yeah. But I think it's one that's a long time coming as well. I don't think anyone can deny that this is a great on-demand music service, that when you want to hear something quick, somebody mentions a song to you, you're sitting at your computer, you Google it, a video comes up, you watch it, you think it's awesome, and maybe you buy that track, or you do something. One of the other things that contributes to the Billboard charts, and what goes into that Hot 100, it's radio play, it's sales, and there's already streaming in there. There has been for several years. Streaming services like Spotify, that's already in there. But one of the biggest music streaming services in the world is clearly YouTube.
Okay, so where would Harlem Shake be without YouTube?
It would have made the Hot 100 last week without YouTube.
Okay.
It would not have been number one. Now, it sold about 260,000 tracks, which was good enough for a debut at number 14 or 15 last week. Hmm. But when we flipped the switch on the YouTube data, it was number one.
It's number one.
Why? Because people were uploading, get this, they were uploading 3,000 Harlem Shake videos a day. And yeah, now, they're only 30 seconds long, so they're pretty easy to make.
Sure.
I think if one of you guys has a cell phone right now, we can make one, and this is the radio.
But hey, we made our own. We made our own on K-Rock, you know.
Of course you did.
Everybody did. But here's what's fascinating about this. So this original track, and I know the Harlem Shake itself has a bizarre history because the dance started, I guess, back in the 80s, and then it samples stuff from 2001, and now this guy just did a remake. I know it's got a very long and complicated history, but most of the people who are making their own videos, Joe, are using this 30 seconds of this current track. And YouTube credits all of those, like even if the original artist who uploaded it doesn't have anything to do with it. If I make a Harlem Shake video, that adds into his totals that helps him on the chart, right?
That's right. In this case, it's what we would call an authorized use. Authorized in that it's using the actual track and that the people in question who are uploading this, and some of them are getting a million views,
right,
are going to be sharing any ad revenue that YouTube puts against this with Bauer. If he walks along and puts his finger on it and says, hey, that's my song, well, there he goes. He gets a couple of pennies.
That's the guy from Brooklyn that did it, right?
That is the guy from Brooklyn who did it. And as you mentioned, Harlem Shake, this song has nothing to do with the dance in the 90s that was popularized by Puffy and others. It is nothing to do with – these people are not doing a dance anyone would call the Harlem Shake.
They're just having a good time. And I've seen the video. Gawker or somebody went out onto the streets of Harlem and showed people on the streets, and they said, I don't know what they're doing, but that ain't the Harlem Shake.
Exactly.
So do you think, Joe, and I think this is super, super interesting, do you think that this will lead to people in one of the meetings that they have about publicizing their music to try to make a viral video so that they can essentially get hundreds and thousands of other people to kind of help them go up the charts by making their own versions?
Well, don't you think that's already happening?
Yeah, I imagine.
It really is already happening. In point of fact, this discussion goes on, not always at the record label, but One Direction. You're familiar with this boy band out of the UK.
Sure.
We interviewed their songwriting team last year, and one thing they said was, yeah, we like to make songs with guitar riffs in them because it makes it easier for the fans to make their own YouTube videos.
No kidding. So they're planning that on the way in.
Well, that was a level of thought. Yeah, that was a level of thought that I'd never encountered before. Like, here we are putting the track together, thinking about kids who are going to cover this song at home.
Wow.
And
that's interesting.
And then put the video up on YouTube. So folks are already thinking about that. Yeah, of course, in the labels, people are thinking, what would be a cool way to make this a viral smash? And they're failing.
Obviously, of course, most of
that comes from the public. It doesn't come from
yes. You watch these Harlem Shake videos, and you go, "No one that is a marketer came up with this because it's just nonsense." But
it
I
is.
Think that's what people are drawn to is the nonsense.
It's just fun.
Yeah, it's the utter simplicity of it, and then once it spirals into this supernova where Al Roker is doing it and a men's swim team is doing it.
Listen, when Al Roker does it, it's over.
Well,
I just like
it has been pointed out many times that the Today Show Harlem Shake video may have been the the shark jump moment. But,
exactly.
Now, were you doing this for Psy's Gangnam Style? Because that was the last just take over the world YouTube video.
Well, Gangnam Style benefits from this and, in fact, rebounded, I think, from the 40s up into the 20s last week on the Hot 100. And had this policy been in effect,
that's what I'm
earlier than this, it is possible that the Gangnam Style, which was blocked from the number one spot by Maroon 5 for weeks on end, it's possible, and in fact, I would say likely that it would have gone number one on the Hot 100.
Interesting. Well, the expression in the show business for decades has been it's not number one until it's number one on Billboard. So this is exciting news for a lot of people who are going to benefit from this. And it just, I guess, like you said, it makes a lot of sense to just incorporate however people are enjoying their music. And YouTube is probably the biggest radio station in the country. So it looks like the right move, Joe.
Exactly. I think at Billboard, it's all about us keeping up with what is actually going on in music, what people are listening to, what they're talking about. And there's no doubt last week that this song was what people were talking about.
Joe Levy is the editor of Billboard Magazine at Billboard.com. Follow him on Twitter at RealJoeLevy. Great to have you on again, man. Thanks.
Good to be here.
Coming up right after the top of the hour, not only do we qualify you for a chance to see Fun period in London, England period. Details on that at KRock.com. We're also going to talk to a man named Kevin Connolly, not the guy from Entourage. This is a guy who was born with no legs, Yet that hasn't stopped him from being a thrill seeker.
He's cripples are taking over your show.
That's true. What's going on? Trying to do a freak show.
You're not a cripple.
You have no blue parking spaces left in the lot, ladies and gentlemen. None.
He is. He's diving off cliffs in Hawaii and climbing trees and training with the Army Rangers, and he's the star of a new reality TV show. So we'll talk to a man with no legs coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, here's a man with really short legs. Our friend Brad Williams filling in for Ralph Garman in the Showbiz Beat today. What's going on, Brad?
Still taller than the guy with no legs.
That's true. Well, I'm not sure. He's got a pretty tall torso.
I could beat him. Cripple fight! Cripple fight!
I didn't know that was a thing, but all right.
Yeah, we're going to take over. Now the women are fighting in the UFC.
Yeah.
Now we're going to have our own division, the cripples. Going to take place in a ball pit at Chuck E. Cheese.
I like
Let's do this! Bring it on!
What's going on the Showbiz Beat?
Well, before we get to some showbiz news, how about a giveaway? Sounds good.
Yay!
I like going to Santa Anita. I like seeing the ponies. I like betting credits.
I don't know much about it, but it is fun.
It is
fun. You can legally bet there. You don't have to bet credits.
Oh, okay.
Legally bet on
money. All right.
Yeah.
Good. Well, if you want to go to Santa Anita March 2nd and hang out with a bunch of K-Rock jocks, including Omar and Dave the King of Mexico from the Kevin Bean Show, and also Stryker, Kat Corbett, and Nicole Alvarez Lightning, how about a VIP package to hang with all of them at the K-Rock Infield Concert featuring Young Bloodhawk?
There you go.
Wow, that's
right.
Good. That's this Saturday, by the way.
That's this Saturday, March 2nd. Call right now. We'll take caller 13, 1-800-520-1067, and you can go to Santa Anita.
There you go.
I don't know if they have horse racing groupies or not, Brad, but I would imagine if you go, you can convince them that you're a jockey.
Absolutely.
If you get on a horse, I will give you
$1,000. I think I saw that video. That was on the internet. I don't know if we can talk about it here.
Let's not.
Let's get to showbiz news. Ladies, vaginas on code pink. Code pink. Ron Jeremy has been cleared to return to porn. Yeah, buddy.
Isn't that funny? What a weird thing for him to have to be cleared for. You know, you have to go to a doctor and say, this is what I want to do. Can I do
but
it?
But I guess that's true of anyone who has heart surgery.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, and they said, Ron, when you could walk up a flight of stairs and not get tired, you can come back to porn. And he went up those stairs, so now he's coming back.
His junk tugged him up the stairs.
Darn right.
That's what happened.
Like a tugboat. It worked out. Man, he did a scene once with China. Did you know that?
Yeah. I try not to think about that one.
I no longer have to watch National Geographic.
Yeah.
It's red. It's there.
That's interspecies porn is what that is.
That's not good.
Man, me and a horse, Ron and China.
Easy.
We're going good today. Actually, this is breaking news via Twitter. Seth MacFarlane has just announced that he, even if asked back, will never host at the Oscars again.
I don't blame him.
I don't blame him either. I'm kind of sad. I enjoyed it, but I get why he did it. That's a tough room.
That's an impossible room.
Yeah.
You know, it really is, and Seth is enormously talented. But, I mean, look at the people who have come before him and have not gotten rave reviews. I mean, people like Jon Stewart and David Letterman. I mean, those are some of the funniest people in the world. Yeah, and it's almost a thankless job to host the Oscars.
It's impossible. No matter what you do, you're not going to please everyone. And that audience is just wound so tight.
And the other problem is, at least with Seth MacFarlane, I knew going in that everything I like about him the most, he's not going to be able to do.
He'll be toned down.
Right.
I wonder what you get paid to host the Oscars, by the way. Yeah. What would you guys guess? Do you think they give you, like, is it $100,000? Is it $500,000? What do you think the salary is?
I have no idea.
I would know nothing. I got plenty of tweets, though, on Oscar night when Ted came out.
Yeah.
People thought it was me in the suit.
Was it?
The world may never know. But thank you, Kevin Bean fans, for that. That was great. Brad's on the Oscars. So let's get to celebrity birthdays, everyone. Singer Michael Bolton is 60 years old today. Erykah Badu is 42. Corinne Bailey Ray. Man, that name just rolls off the tongue. Corinne Bailey Ray. She's 34.
Coming
today.
Up next, an unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey Ray. An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey Ray.
Wow.
You never seem to disappoint.
Nope.
And Lakers guard Steve Blake is 33 years old today. I'm Brad Williams. Follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad, and I pitter-patter on the showbiz.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Average number of movie titles in which female porn stars star as women.
That was a moment with V.
As opposed to the ones that they star in as men, or...
And then B got mad at us because we didn't understand the question. Him.
And we're slightly intelligent, moderately intelligent humans.
What's going on there?
We understand the English language.
Let me hear that. Let me hear that one more time. I got to hear that. I've got confused here.
And now, a moment with B.
Average number of movie titles in which female porn stars star as women.
That was a moment with B.
I think I was trying to say average number of movies that female porn stars have appeared in. I think that's what I was trying to say.
Right.
But
that would have been great if you said that.
It's not what you said at all. Great.
No.
9:39, it's Tuesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman is out for a couple days making some TV. Filling in today, our good friend Brad Williams. You can follow him on Twitter, and you should, @FunnyBrad. And you got a website, too, for people who want to check your Southern California appearances, I assume.
Yeah, BradWilliamsComedy.com. I'm doing a charity show April 3rd at the Fox Theater in Fullerton, benefiting autism. And then I think a couple weeks after that, I'm at Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank in April.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, BradWilliamsComedy.com.
Well, it's been a lot of fun having you do the showbiz beat for us today. What do you got left for us?
Thanks for having me. Well, I got sent this story, and I know it's supposed to be showbiz news, but this story kind of appeals to me, as you will hear.
All right.
There's a mom that recently protested in a supermarket because she has a dwarf daughter.
Right.
And
which you are.
Which I am. I'm a dwarf. Okay. And there is a brand of pickle called Kosher Dill Midgets, which is a small pickle, which, I don't know, I hear kosher dill midgets, I think of, like, door-to-door acidic Jew midgets walking.
Okay, that's on you.
With the curls going down to the floor, dragging.
That's on you.
Maybe.
So those smallest little pickles that get sold in the little jars, those are called midgets by some company.
Yeah. And
I see.
And this mother freaked out, protested.
To clarify, that word... Yeah. Is a divisive word, right? Some people think it's offensive. You don't.
I don't. For me, like, they like to be called dwarves or little people. To me, dwarf sounds a little more crazy because you start thinking of fantastical stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you hear a dwarf comedian, they're going to walk on stage and be like, hi-ho! By the way,
all
over Los Angeles right now, a bunch of dwarves' ears just perked up and went, somebody's in trouble!
That's the call for help?
We heard the call! So she gets upset. She starts a blog. She starts a YouTube campaign. And now the company is changing the name of the pickle.
There Chicks are no- and Midgets. Bam!
To what?
We don't know yet. But they've announced that they will change the name. I don't know, just Tiny Pickles or whatever. And we talked about this earlier, how when you give in, it's like a slippery slope. Like, will this lead to anyone being offended by anything on a label? Like, will African Americans go to a food place where they have blackened fish and go like, you can't say blackened fish anymore? Listen, I like to order blackened fish. Doesn't mean I expect the fish to come out like wearing a do-rag and listening to 50 Cent. I'm not picturing that, okay?
Right, right.
It's blackened
fish.
That's
on you as the viewer or whatever.
It's a midget pickle. It's a tiny pickle.
Beware of the midgets. They're taking over the world.
It's a tiny pickle. Who cares? No one's going to look at your daughter, your dwarf daughter, and go, she's a pickle. I could put her on her sandwich. No.
Yeah, that's true. That's absurd.
Yeah, there's dwarf bunnies. There's Tootsie Roll has midgy candies.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they do. Funny Fantastic. As hell.
People can decide whether to be offended or not, right? And in the case of the M word, as some call it, you've just decided to not be offended by it.
Why would I be?
Would you be? Exactly.
It's one word. If you call me a midget, I don't have to immediately start doing midget things. The word doesn't have power. Like you're a midget. Oh,
no,
darn.
It just means short person, which you are.
Yeah.
All right.
It doesn't mean I have to immediately drop whatever I'm doing and start making cookies. That's not what that means.
That would be best case scenario.
Yeah, you know.
If you would.
It would be.
What about this guy, though?
I have never beat a midget, but I was thinking about it earlier today, and it sounds like it'd be fun.
I agree with him.
It looked like you stole a midget pants.
You know, I don't mean to be negative in any way, but a little person, little brain.
All right, so that's offensive. All right. We can say that's offensive. But
yeah, don't beat midgets. There's a stereotype out there that when you punch a midget, we explode into gold coins. Not true.
That's not true.
Not true.
Okay, good. I needed to clarify that.
Absolutely. But I don't know. I just don't like that this woman freaked out about this name, and now that we're changing it because, you know, she got
political correctness, man.
One person did complain, and that's all a corporation needs anymore, Brad.
One.
We've learned that.
One.
Yes, we have.
One mom and her dwarf daughter, so really like one and a half.
And you can say that.
Yeah.
Because you're 4'4".
Yeah, exactly. Write me your hate letters. By the way, when a dwarf writes a hate letter, that little dude is dedicated. That takes him time. He's got to run from one side of the keyboard to the other, like T, H, E, space. Got to pound the space bar with both hands.
It looked like you stole a midget pants.
Do we have time for a midget song?
Sure, why not?
Oh, midget. Classic.
Mm. Haven't heard this in a while, right?
The little man knows all.
Life's got me mad, but if I had a midget, I'd be glad to watch him jump around on my Nintendo Power Pad. Woo! He'd have a big head, short legs, and long torso. The name that I give my pet midget is Little Gordo. I teach him tricks like backflips and sidekicks. When company came over, he'd perform and get tips. While I'm eating at night, in the kitchen, he'd be able to get the food scraps that I threw under the table. If my midget was ever bad and acted enraged, then I'd take him to the bathroom and put him in his cage.
See, that's offensive on every level.
But
it's funny.
But it's so offensive that it's funny to me.
It's cartoonish.
It's so ridiculous.
Of course.
It's like the Onion tweet about that about that 9-year-old actress. Yeah.
We deal with this all the time where you say something that's inappropriate because inappropriate is funny. Unless you're politically correct, in which case you have to be offended by everybody.
The world is out there, people.
Yeah.
Let's experience
it. Who is the actress / activist, Kevin, that we had on a number of years ago? She was very famous. You probably recognize
yes.
her name. She was on The Practice. She was on a bunch of shows. She was like really the go-to little person in Hollywood for a while.
I should know this.
Yeah,
she
you should.
Was furious at our show, and we got her on the phone one time. Remember? She was complaining about something we had done on the program. And then
I remember that you asked her. I think you asked her if her owner knew she was on the phone.
Yes, and that was where it all went to hell.
She hung up.
That's where it all went to hell.
But it ended badly.
I felt like we had some common ground, and we were like learning from each other. And then, unfortunately, I did ask that question. I think that was the end of that relationship. It was kind of a sad way to go.
Oh, well.
What are you going to do?
But you know what? You did it for the sake of comedy.
Right.
Comedy worked. You know what's offensive to me? The cast of Dancing with the Stars is still calling it Dancing with the Stars.
God. Tell people who's on that show.
This is like dancing with the people in the welfare line. It's not stars at this point.
It hasn't been for a long time.
No. I'm really surprised that they don't get bigger names on this show because it's a huge top five show.
Yeah.
And you win a lot of money if you do well on the show. The longer you're on the show, the more money you make. And there are a lot of people whose careers have kind of been reinvented a little bit by kind of being on that show and getting in front of people and showing their personality and everything. I don't know why a lot of people don't line up for this, honestly.
Are there no more stars in Hollywood that you got to pick out some dude named Psycho Mike Catherwood to be on your show?
Exactly.
Some of them are diving. So you got to take those people out.
Okay, so the ones that are diving, well, we can't have them.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, for example. You can't have him. He's diving.
Here's the cast of Dancing with the Stars. Right. Lisa Vanderpump. Wow! When you need someone to have clout in Hollywood, you call Lisa Vanderpump. Yeah, that could sell a show.
That sounds like a porn name to me.
Oh, don't you know? I hit her with the Vanderpump.
Sure.
The Vanderpump is the most popular position in Germany.
No question.
I Vanderpumped her. Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, she was on.
Oh, that's who she is? Okay.
Yeah. Right. Winona Judd. The show would have been great in the 70s, apparently.
Yeah.
Speaking of the 70s, Dorothy Hamill, figure skater from the 1970s. She's there.
Wow.
Ali Raisman, who is on the United States gymnastics team. Victor Ortiz, a boxer that is most famous for being knocked out by Floyd Mayweather when he dropped his hands.
Yep.
Zendaya Coleman from a Disney Channel show. Ingo Rodmaker, who's on...
What's happening right now? Who are these people?
I'm mumbling. I'm sounding like you saying these names.
How dare you?
Ingo Rodmaker. Ingo Rodmaker. He runs on the hospital.
I don't know who any of those people are.
I mean, the most popular people on here are comedian D.L. Hughley.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Who is very funny, very, very good.
I like him.
Jacoby Jones, who just won the Super Bowl for the Ravens as a wide receiver.
He counts.
And Andy Dick.
I'm taking bets on Twitter, and I don't think he's going to make it to the first air date.
I would not bet against you.
I have a guy who wants to take, he won't even make it through the first rehearsal. So who knows?
Because those rehearsals are tough.
They are tough.
I'm friends with Jeff Ross, and he did it. He kind of did it at, you know, to kind of raise his profile. He's like, those rehearsals, yeah, they work you.
Psycho Mike is in great shape.
Amazing shape.
Tired him out. Yeah.
Yeah. So
Andy Dick, please.
Yeah. So if you want to watch that catastrophe, watch it. Great. If you find joy in it, fine. But just change the name from Dancing with the Stars. It's insulting. Let's get to celebrity birthdays, everybody. Of some real celebrities. Real celebrities, like Michael Bolton. Yeah! Michael Bolton is 60.
Hmm.
Good for him.
Hmm.
Erica Badu is 42. Corinne Bailey Ray is 34. Man, that name just rolls off the tongue so easily.
Coming up next, an unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey Ray. An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey Ray.
Wow. That was hungover in my defense.
Can anyone be a DJ? Is there like signups outside the K-Rock building?
Based on what you just heard, yes.
And Lakers guard Steve Blake is 33. I'm Brad Williams. Follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad, and I pitter-patter on the show biz beat.
How about tiny round of applause for Brad Williams for
Woo!
Sending in your day, huh?
One hand clapping. All right. Ralph will be back tomorrow, right?
Nope, next day.
Oh, okay.
But we appreciate you filling in.
No problem.
Tomorrow we have an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have a brand-new internet roundup for you. We have Donnie Wahlberg talking about, I don't know if you've seen the ad for Boston's Finest.
It looks
really good.
I want to see that.
The real police force in Boston. My Strange Addiction is back. Girl Eats Sand. Can't wait for that. Highlights of that. We have Jeff Probst on the program tomorrow talking about Survivor and a book that he's written. We have Ben Hoffman, a comedian, talking about his The Ben Show on the Comedy Central. And Adam Carolla will be here.
Hey.
Wow. With This Week in Rage. All tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.